Well, blessing and peace on you, my friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another podcast. You know, if you were with me last week, you heard the podcast that I had with Brother Drew Neal. This is another one. This is whenever he joined me live on Prophetic Wednesday. Now, every single Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon Central Standard Time, I tell you this, my friends, we've been doing something for a couple of years that we call Prophetic Wednesday, and it is... Well, it's just amazing. I mean, we have people from all over the world. We had more than 30 different nations join us live this last Wednesday, and the numbers are growing. Now, one of the reasons why I believe that the Lord is blessing us is because I have the unique opportunity to bring in incredible people from all over the planet Earth, and this guy is Drew Neal. Now, you're going to see why this guy is such a big deal once you listen to this. Here we go. Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus, man. Welcome, guys, to Prophetic Wednesday. Coming at you strong from the stage here at Open Door Church. Like, why aren't you in the room where you typically are? I mean, what's that all about? Well, actually, because I am on stage and I wanted to have somebody else here with me who's been with me all day long. Now, I'm about to introduce somebody to you. We're about to have an awesome chat. You guys are going to love this. But first, I got to ask you guys, please, man, get ready. I want you to get prayed up. I want you to bust out your journals. I want you to get ready to be teachable, because today, man, I'm going to share some really exciting stuff with you that's going to blow your mind. Hey, listen, every single time that I do this, we do this because I want to help you to live that kind of life that says, man, I have a value for the voice of God. I have a value for the word of God. I have a value for the awareness of the presence of God and where God Almighty is at. And I want to help you in that. There's actually a few key people in my own life that helped me do this. And they're people that help keep me sharp. They're people that put up with me. They're people that have big permission in my life to speak into my life and to help me hone my skills as a leader and hone my skills as somebody who is a man of God that is trying to help other people be men and women of the Most High God. That guy is with me here today. You're going to love this guy. Drew Neal is here. Boom.
Mr. Troy Brewer, what's going on?
Man, all kinds of craziness. I mean, you know, and you actually have a front row seat for it. And man, I'm so grateful, man, thank you, man, for joining us here today. And thank you for being a part of my life and what you've been helping me with my teams all day. And you're continuing to do that kind of stuff, man. Thank you. So before we get off into the subject matter that we're going to talk about, you have a front row seat of what the Lord is doing with us. And I mean, you're a part of so many moves of God. I mean, mm-hmm. You were sharing with me this morning, just friends of yours and stuff that you're pouring into. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? That's a thing, or that's happening, or I didn't know that, or wow. Man, what's your takeaway when you see us, and what do you tell people about what God is doing with us, and what does that look like? What's your lens of us?
Man, Troy, well, there's so many great things to say about who you guys are and who you and Leanna are as individuals, but also who Open Door Church is as a family. You guys are one of the most radically mobilized and devoted families to the kingdom of God I've ever met. You know, you guys have such a devotion to want to see captives get set free. It doesn't matter however you're bound, you know, and if you're watching right now, there's so much victory available for you and freedom available for you right now, whether you're bound emotionally, whether you're bound financially, whether you're bound physically. Doesn't matter if it's sex trafficking to a mindset that just needs to get shifted out of poverty and into the abundance of the kingdom. Freedom, you guys set captives free. And it blesses me the dedication that you guys have at whether it's a crisis, whether it's just a loved one and you got to show up and be present, whether it's rescuing somebody. It's you guys are devoted to set captives free. And I tell you what, you have a mission that's bigger than a latte in Sunday morning.
I like that. Uh-huh. I'm going to put that in my next book, by the way. People okay. are going to think of a genius.
Uh-huh. And so you do it, man. It'll be great. So, you know, there's so many great churches out there that unfortunately look more like a cruise ship than a warship. Right? Yeah. And when I say warship, I mean W-O-R-S-H-I-P. It's a play on words.
Worship. That's a great.
You know, because it's about who we're becoming, right? Who we're devoted to be, which means when you know who you are, you can have breakthrough in other people's lives. And I think a lot of churches suffer from lack of identity because they're just duplicating a model. They're just doing what's known and comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just not full potential of what they're made to do. And so, you know, I don't want to be an echo. I want to be an authentic version of who God's made me to be. You know, an open door is not an echo. You guys have a grace on you. You're going after it. You're setting the captives free. And I'm so excited to be a part of the journey with you guys.
Oh, thank you, Drew. Well, you are. You are a big part of it. And yeah, man, we have a holy hatred for slavery, any kind of bondage, any kind of cage, any kind of limit, any kind of spirit of halt. We just have a holy hatred for that. And you said something this morning when we were talking about our value for people because we have learned from the Lord over the years to have a tremendous value for people. And it's one of the strengths that we have. And because when we first started in ministry, I had a vision, and the vision was I was in this field and it was plowed up ground, and I looked down and there was a coin, and I reached down to pick it up, went a little bit further, and there was two coins side by side that were completely different. And then I went a little bit further, and it was a different kind of coin. And then I saw like this burlap coming out of the ground, and I reached down, Drew, and picked it up, pulled it out, and I opened it up, and it was full of all this treasure. And I started looking, and I could see that there was this treasure that was hidden in this field. Well, I was a very young man, and I didn't know the parable that Jesus gave that said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that finds a treasure hidden in a field, and he hides it, and for the joy thereof, he goes and he sells all that he has, and he buys that field. And I went to my pastor and said, what does this dream mean? And he showed me that scripture, and he said, Troy, it's about selling out for the thing that you see that everybody else doesn't see, right? And going after that. And it changed my life. It was one of those defining moments for me. So I'm always looking for better ways to, how do I express value for people and how the Father sees them? And you said something this morning. You said, we should have, I want to think of how you said it. You said, and I'm probably going to chew this up and not say this right, but it made a tremendous impact on me this morning. You said, who someone is becoming should be much more important to us than what they can do for us. And I thought about that. I thought, I've been living by that for years and years and years and didn't have that language. What are you talking about? How did you come across that? And what does that mean to you when you say that?
Yeah, well, Troy, just, you know, thank you for saying that, acknowledging that. I think there's a difference between understanding who I have access to as a son and a daughter of God versus what I'm capable of doing. And understanding the relationship between my identity and what I have access to plays into that, because a lot of people think that their identity is who they have access to, meaning I'm a child of God, so I have access to God. It defines access. But actually, son or daughter is not a very special designation because everybody's a son of God.
Wow.
We all are. That actually doesn't tell me anything unique about you. That tells me who you're connected to.
Okay.
But there's a unique part of who you are. You know, Dan McCollum, who we know and love, I quote him all the time. He's been a great mentor in my life. You know, he says that, you know, access is about your last name. The prophetic is about your first name.
Oh my gosh. That is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And so my identity, what I read in the word, the logos, the written word, the graphy, is I get my last name out of that.
Right.
I hear the story of breakthrough over time, of God manifesting himself to people on earth, and I begin to find out what it's like to have access to God.
So good.
Right? But, you know, I can be inspired by David, but I'm not David. I can be David-like, but I'm not going to live the same way David lived because it's a different era, all the things, right? And so the question I've been asking is, you know, how do we master our identity? How do we understand the unique thing that's possible when I walk in the room and have the Christ in me, aware of Christ in me, what's possible that otherwise never would be possible? You know, Troy, what's so amazing about your life and some of the gifts that you have is you're a tremendous visionary, you know, and you have a strong gift of faith. When you walk into the room, faith increases to believe for things in the future. It's remarkable, you know, and your gift behind it is, you know, it's hard to find the level of faith that you have. It's unparalleled. And so if I'm smart and I know who I am, I can begin to define a relationship with you by you knowing who you are and me knowing who I am.
So good.
Now we can begin to synergize, stay in our lane, collaborate, unify, so we can see more of heaven on earth. Because ultimately, the unique gift I have brings a part of heaven to earth. So for me, the common motivator that we all have, whether we're prophesying, whether we're, you know, feeding the hungry, praying for the sick, no matter what we're doing, we're all bringing a piece of heaven to earth everywhere that there's hell.
Yep.
So I love this idea of heaven coming to earth because it speaks into the concept that earth is inhabited by a kingdom. It was designed to be inhabited by a kingdom. So if we're going to say that we believe that heaven on earth is the transformational goal, that means that the enemy knows that plan better than we do, probably at times. Which means we know the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, to pervert. So what the enemy does is says, what's the functional order and how can I take advantage of the functional order? So the earth is designed to inhabit a kingdom. So how can I not let it be the kingdom of light? How can I let it be the kingdom of darkness? And so right now, if we as believers are motivated for heaven to come on earth, we have to realize that the devil is motivated for hell to be on earth. Which means when I don't know who I am,
so good,
I am partnering with a lesser kingdom.
So good. So real. So true.
Every time you guys walk into those black markets, you are not confronting sin. You're confronting hell.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's
hell.
It's higher than the sin.
Yeah.
It's the kingdom of hell.
That's right.
On earth, trying to establish its rule and reign.
Yes.
And we know the end of the story, which is an amazing end of the story.
Yeah.
But we have a responsibility to execute that dominion and that reality, to bring heaven everywhere we see hell. But you can't do that in your own strength. You know, demons know if you know who you are or not.
That's right.
And if we're actually going to bring hell and destroy the works of darkness, the enemy has to be convinced that we know who we are. And so when you're just duplicating a model, if you're just an echo out there, I mean, the enemy will eat you up, spit you out, you know, three times a day and twice on Sunday.
You know, people don't have permission to be genuine. They don't have... You know, we say genuine here. So, you know, people don't have permission to be genuine. They don't have permission to be authentic. And they really don't think they have anything to offer as far as that goes. And one of the promises, you know, there are 17 promises of him that overcomes in the book of Revelation in 2 and 3 when he says, hey, you got to overcome. And if I just unpack that a little bit, to overcome literally means your fidelity means everything to me. You know, I'm about to show you some things. You know, I'm about to unpack some things to you, and I'm going to show you a whole bunch of stuff that you're going to have to go through. I'm going to show you that. But your fidelity to me is everything. Be an overcomer. And here's what you're going to get. One of the things that he says to him that overcomes, it was one of the 17 promises, is I will give you a white stone and on it a new name and a name that nobody else knows. Something that is unique, something that's never been revealed to the whole universe before, that's going to come through you, and it's not going to come through anybody else. It's one of the faces of Jesus, right? I was talking with Paul Wilbur yesterday. He and I were doing the prophetic life together.
Love that guy.
I love Paul. Paul's such a troublemaker. He's on his way to Costa Rica right now.
Is he really?
He is, man. They finally opened back up, and he's down there. He's going to do a whole bunch of... I just bless you, Paul, if you're watching, man.
Come on.
I love you, brother, and I call you blessed, man. We're so proud of you, man. But Paul was like, you know, man, one of the understandings of the word, the glory of God whenever he said, hey, I want to see your glory, is an understanding of, I want to see your face, but it's plural. So whenever Brother Moses is saying, I want to see your glory, he's saying, I want to see your faces. Okay? And the faces of Jesus is reflected through us, right? Because it says, behold, now we look in a glass darkly, but then face to face. And so I'm going to get to see a side of Jesus I can't see through anybody else except through my relationship with you, Drew. You're going to see something in Jesus. And the same thing we miss, I just want to just give a plea to everybody that's watching and everybody that is prophetic and you're living this life. You need to know that you are valued and you are needed. And God Almighty needs you in this day. He could have had you born at any time, anywhere throughout the centuries. And there is something, there's a way that you carry the Lord. There's something that you see in God that you're going to be able to reflect that nobody else can. And it's just so real.
So powerful. That encouragement is so needed right now. And I love that you're sharing that. And because we have to know who we are, but we need a place to discover that. And the encouragement you're releasing, what this broadcast is really a community of creating room for people to discover who they really are. Because that is the foundation of the prophetic, right? You know, the prophetic is not just some, you know, future predictor. The first thing New Covenant prophecy does is tell us who we really are. And it allows us to see ourselves. You know, everybody wants to see the future. You know, but if you don't see yourself first, you will misinterpret the future. And so there's so many people who want to engage the prophetic gift, but they haven't seen themselves the way that God sees them yet. It's like, you know, Chris Vallotton, I love that guy. He's a total hammer and in the kingdom. And I love the hammer gift. And he told a story one time. He said, you know, there was a prophet who wanted to like have a role in influencing Bethel Church. And so they came to him, and Chris shares this publicly. This prophet came to them and said, hey, I would like to give Bethel Church a prophetic word. And, you know, and so Chris basically said, well, have you given yourself a prophetic word yet? You know, give me evidence of you leading yourself. And if you can show me that the prophetic has led you and you have fruit, I'll be open to receiving a word from you about our church. And I thought that was so brilliant.
That is brilliant.
As an accountability measure of saying, hey, I need to know that you have first seen. Prophetic is a seeing gift, right?
Yes.
So I need to know that you can't just see the future. I need to know that you have a 360-degree view. That you can see in the Father, you have seen yourself, you can see people, and you can see the future. We need context to be able to handle interpreting these things. And so, and if we can't see ourselves the way God sees us, how are we ever gonna be able to see anybody else the way God sees them?
So good.
There would be a limitation in our ability to interpret what God has given us. Mm. And so, what does it look like for us to explore that? And so prophetic life is creating room and safety for us to begin to say, well, how does God see me?
Yeah.
When God sees me, what does he see? He doesn't just see a child, you know? He doesn't just see one of his kids. He sees me.
That's right.
He sees Drew Neal.
Yes, he does. And he loves him.
And he loves me. I mean, and because of that, I get to love me.
Yeah, that's right.
And I get to get into relationships where I can define that same level of love back and forth and celebrate the fact that God loves Troy Brewer, Troy Brewer loves Troy Brewer, and now Drew Neal gets to love the real Troy Brewer because Troy's willing to give me the real Troy Brewer.
Come on, man. You know, I something happens in the presence of Jesus that makes you so healthy that, and it makes you so emotionally intelligent. It makes you, it doesn't make you cocky at all. It makes you so confident and like, it's okay for me to be me. And honestly, I mean, I've struggled with that. You know, I think every human being struggles with that, but I've struggled with it at a big degree because, you know, just in being in the ministry, I've been full-time ministry since I was 19 years old in one way or another. I pastored this church for 26 years and really didn't try and break out on the national scene because I looked around and went, I don't see anybody like me. And I'm a different bird and I totally get it. And I'm not, all these things. But the Lord had spoken a prophetic word in my life and told me this. And I finally had to conform my life to the image of who God said that I was. And you have to conform your life to the image of God's plan. You have to conform your life to the image of who he is. You have to bear his name to where you look like what he says. We're called to be bearers of his name. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back bearing the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And guess what he looks like? He looks like King of Kings and Lord. He's bearing that name. And therefore, his image is the name that God gave him, right? In contrast to that, everybody on the earth is receiving a mark, and the mark is the number of the name. They are bearing another name. Those who receive the mark of the beast, they're literally bearing another name, right? So it's very important if I'm going to not take the name of the Lord God in vain, that means I'm going to conform my life that any time that I operate in him, that his heart is my heart. But the image that I bear should also belong to him. And that's why Jesus said, hey, who does that coin belong to? Well, we don't know. Well, tell me whose image is on it. Oh, well, that's Caesar. Well, then give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give unto the Lord what belongs to the Lord. Like, okay, so what image are you bearing? So is it your past? Is it your history? Is it your failures? Is it your second, third, or fourth marriage? Is it what your parents said about you? Is it that experience? Or is it your destiny? What your God in heaven says, I see you, I know you, I have named you. That's the jam right there.
It really is. And that what's happening in there, I love what you're saying. What I hear you saying is that you're authorized from heaven.
Yes.
Right? The image you bear speaks about the authority that you carry.
So good.
Right? So, you know, in the kingdom, you know, gun is the power, but authority is the badge.
So good.
And so there's a lot of people who want to have the power, but they don't have the badge. You know, an orphan wants to know who they are, but a son wants to know who their father is.
Oh my.
Right? And so what is that orphan? The orphan is the gun without the badge.
Yeah.
You know, and so the badge says, I know who my father is, which then says, when I use the gun, the power, it's going to be for you and not be against you. Right?
Yeah.
So when I understand my identity, I know how to have a relationship with the power that God's placed upon my life that's available in the kingdom of God. I know what type of power. I know what it's unto. I know who it's supposed to serve. I know how to govern it. I know the core values that have to be in place so that when I am my full self, that I don't violate you, but I actually help you and support you while being my full self. And so, but that starts with seeing the Father. You can't see yourself until you've seen the Father.
Yes.
And then when you see the Father, you can ask the Father, Father, how do you see me?
Yep.
And out of the heart of God comes the unique dream that God had on his mind and in his heart when he made you.
Dude, I'm thinking of so many things, man. My spirit is exploding in this. And we weren't even planning on talking about this, which is just so good. It's just so the Lord. So you guys need to know that you're watching this because God Almighty's having you watch this. Man, this is the Lord and this is a word for you. Okay, so there's this term in the Bible the last time I was in Israel, well, let's see here, in 2019, I was in Israel four times, okay? I was in there four different times. It was so crazy. And we were doing all this ministry there and we're doing all this crazy stuff. And I had a chance, I'd been speaking among all these messianic people, obviously, you know, the Jewish believers there that are holding down the fort and they're waiting upon the glorious and imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And then within that, of course, that community, there's lots and lots of unbelieving Jewish people. Many people who are devout and that they're dedicated to the Torah, but they still don't know the Messiah yet. And so we're talking with all these guys and I'm just saying, hey, listen, I know you guys know I'm a Christian and I know you know that. I know that you're Jewish. I know that. I know that you have an insight on the word that I don't. I have some terms that I do not know what they mean. And can I ask you, and this guy's like, sure. And I go, I have some biblical terms. I don't understand this phrase. He said, yes. And I said, the apple of his eye. What does that mean? Because I looked it up and looked at it. Some people said, a minute, your iris. And that's the first thing he asked me. He goes, well, what do you guys in Texas think it means? I said, I think it means your iris and that it's the part of your eye that if you touch it, you're super sensitive. And I think that's what it means. And he goes, eh. You know, yeah, like they do. And I said, okay, what does it mean? He goes, no, if I call you the apple of my eye, it means you are so close to me, you can see your reflection in my eye.
Wow.
Okay, I nearly fell out of my chair, dude. So, and I can feel the Lord right now. I can totally feel Jesus. I feel the Holy Spirit like right now. Love you, Jesus. So it's the deal. It's the ability to be able to get in the face of the Father and see you the way he sees you. You're seeing your own reflection through the lens of his eye when he calls you. You are the apple of my eye. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's actually an identity term. And I had no idea of that.
So dude,
I started crying. I started freaking out. And this guy's like, really? You're so impressed? I said, yes, I am so impressed. I'm like, that blows my mind. So yeah, the apple of his eye, bro.
So significant. And I mean, I think, so anytime that we don't understand something, it's so easy to fill the space between where I'm at and what I want to understand with fear.
Mm.
Right? And
yes.
And I, you know, so it's like, hey, if you're a powerful individual and I'm a powerful individual, by the way, Danny Silk, I love you. I learned this all from you. Go get his books, Culture of Honor, Keep Your Love On, Loving Your Kids on Purpose. But I fill the space when I don't understand you and you're a powerful person, I will distance myself because I don't know the intentions of your heart. So you're a powerful person, you're a mover and a shaker, you're out doing the kingdom. If I don't know who I am and I don't know who you are, I will fill the space between us with fear. But in the kingdom, that's how the kingdom of darkness works. In the kingdom of light, we step closer to things that we don't understand.
Oh.
Because we want to understand, because the kingdom is always going to be for us. And so you can't foster connection without coming closer.
So good.
And so it's actually understanding that God protects you and preserves you in the midst of that process. And of course, there's boundaries needed and a lot of healthy tools are needed along the way. But generally, the posture of grace is always a forward lean. It's never a passive wrap my arms around and balled up and
right
pulled
on, right
back.
On.
It's always a forward curiosity, full of childlike wonder to want to see the depths and the goodness of God in your life. Because as I step forward, you're also going to understand me.
Yep.
Which then now means if we're going to have connection, that you're going to begin to regulate your power with me in mind. Because you want connection.
Yeah.
Because who we are becoming is more important than what we are going to do.
I heard, listen, we're about to have to close and I don't want to close. I don't want to, but I heard Graham Cook say years and years and years ago in one of his brilliant books, I'm trying to think what the name of that book was, but he said, you know, everything in the kingdom is relational before it's functional. That was a game changer for me. I'd never heard that language before and it made so much sense. And then I also heard in the midst of going out there, hanging out with Dan McCollum and that whole bunch out of Vacaville, incredible, incredible. Dan McCollum is something else, man. He's next level. And if I can just say, he's the greatest musician I've ever seen. And I know musicians and I'm amazed that the whole world does not know him as a musician. And I never seen anybody pray in the spirit through playing guitar in different languages. Okay, he's playing some kind of Middle Eastern music now. Now he's playing hillbilly Kentucky music. Now he's playing, you know, that's like Appalachian style guitar. Now he's playing blues and him just be worshiping and going through all these genres of music. I've never seen anything like that. You know, the sounds of the nations, you know. So I was like, wow. But I heard him say one time years and years ago that the main fight between the disciples was not who is the lowest, it's the who's greatest among us. And that's what happens in the presence of Jesus. You begin to get so confident that you begin to fight for destiny. You begin, no, I've got a greater destiny fulfilled. No, I have just trust me. God show me who I am and what I'm going to do. And there is this holy kind of confidence that comes in the presence of Jesus because of the safety that we have with him. That I really wish that everybody here could experience over and over and over again. So, Can you pray for us? Can you speak identity into my friends all over the world? We have so many nations all over the world. I was just looking through. It's crazy. And would you just speak into all these nations and all these people identity? Can you do that?
Yeah, 100%. And I just feel from the Lord right now that the Lord wants you to know that He is a safe place to discover. That when you draw close to Him, that you're not going to get an angry dictator. You're not going to get some dysfunctional, out of control. You're going to get a good father is what you're going to get. That apple of His eye. He wants you to come close so that He can connect and relate with you, not control you. You're not a puppet on a string. You're His child. And when the child comes to the good father, they experience love. They experience acceptance. They experience hope. And I just want to release that over you and declare over you that this is a time and a season for you to master your identity. If you're going to master your purpose, you first must master your identity. And mastering your identity is not your access. It's actually understanding the unique thing that God had on His mind when He made you. And so, Father, right now, I thank You, Lord, for the spirit of love that overcomes fear. And I ask that right now that we would have the courage in love to move the feet of our heart closer to the Father, that we would be able to step right in front of His eye and see Him. And as we see Him, that we'd get a revelation of who we really are in Him. Father, I thank You for clarity. I thank You for courage. I thank You for permission. I thank You for acceptance. It's just releasing right now. Won't you receive it right now?
Yes.
The Lord loves you.
Do it.
He receives you. He has made you the right way the first time. He didn't make you broken. He didn't make you invaluable. He believed that from the foundation of the world that it was a good deal. My son, for you, it's a good deal. It's a good deal. And He'd make the deal over and over and over and over and over again. And so, Father, we thank You for the value of the kingdom You're releasing over everyone watching right now. We bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for this opening up in this new season of mastering your identity in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hey, listen, guys, receive that. Receive it, man. Receive it and walk in it. Drew, I know that you have resources. I know that you have those things.
Yeah, sure. So I love leaders. So if you're a leader and you're wanting to build something, I help founders and leaders master their identity and become a solution to the world. So I run a training platform called Solutionary. And so you can go to solutionarymentorship.com, solutionarymentorship.com. And I run out these immersive group experiences where they get direct access to me, and I take them through the process of mastering their identity and mastering their purpose.
Awesome.
Essentially, we answer the question, who are you and why do you exist? And then I teach founders how to begin to build organizations from that revelation. And so if you're a founder out there, if you're already running a business or a church or a nonprofit, and you want to get more aligned in mastering your identity and your purpose, this mentorship program is life-changing. And so we build an internal operating system of purpose from a kingdom point of view. We use the prophetic, we use identity, we use your experiences. We create a 360-degree view from a prophetic standpoint and how to see yourself according to what you have done, what you want to do, what God's told you you'll do. And we begin to create an ecosystem of purpose from that. And it's just powerful. It's radical. You'll get tools out of that that will change your life and your organization. And so we'll be honored to mentor people, solutionarymentorship.com.
Guys, I do want to just tell you guys too, man, I cannot recommend Drew enough. Drew is my friend. He's somebody I do life with, but he's somebody that pours into my life. One of the things we go after all the time is how do we go 10X? In impact straight across the board. How do we do that, man? And again, he's been a huge part of what we have been doing, and he's a huge part in this next thing that we're gonna be doing, which you guys are gonna be hearing a lot about later on. But with all that said, man, I can tell you personally, that this guy is the real deal, man. And I'm just so proud to know
Thank you, Troy.
Man. I mean, honestly, I'm so proud of you, man. I think I met you in California. Is that right?
Yeah, with Dano.
Yeah, I was okay. Right on. Met you, and I remember you got up and spoke, and I was like, "Who is this cat, man? Like, what?" That was several years ago, and I just really appreciate and thank you, man. Thank you for being a part of this, and thank you for being our friend.
Hey, it's my honor, Troy. Just so respect you, your bride, your team here, and I respect you guys, and excited about this community and changing the world together. Come on, you're not a problem; you're a solution.
Come on,
you're not in the way of the plan of God; you are the plan of God. And let's go out there and be a solution to the world.